we have a treat for you. Kids, we have a treat. We have not one speaker, but two. And yeah, that's right. And between them, they've got 48 points. So strap in for a three-hour adventure. That is a joke for any visitors in here. No, we have two great guys. First person, I'm going to intro in a minute. First person is Kofi Afram. Does anyone from Live Free love Kofi Afram? Okay, great. So Live Free is our youth ministry here, our youth movement. Kofi heads that up, does a great job with our young people. So he's going to share in just a minute. And then after him, we have got Andy Taylor. Who loves Andy Taylor, ladies and gentlemen? He's an integral part of our team here, leads worship and so much more behind the scenes. So I'm excited to introduce these guys to you. So without further ado, can we, because you are really scary, okay? And some of you aren't dressed as dinosaurs today. So make sure you give them a nice, warm welcome for our first guest speaker, Mr. Kofi Afra!
Hi, guys. Yeah, sorry. You guys were cheering me on. It just happened. Thanks for the encouragement. I do greatly appreciate it. Hi, I'm Kofi. Nice to meet you if I've not already met you. Just a quick getting to know me. I've been part of this church community for about 18, 19 years now. So it's been a great time. And one thing that I wanted to do is thank our senior leaders, Dave and Helen. Give it up for them. Because I'm going to talk to you guys about something that naturally happens within us that I think these guys have done a really good job of pointing out and protecting us from. But just before I hop into that, I've got a question for you. Have you guys seen the new Jumanji, the new film? Yes? Give me a show of hands so I know how many people with me. Great. That's why it made like $1 billion. So many of you seen it. It's a really fun movie. Great time at the movies. And if you've not seen it, it's on DVD. You can go get it. It's a really good movie. And there's a certain character in there that I really relate to. It's played by the really dashing Nick Jonas. Anyone heard of Nick Jonas? Yeah. And he plays this character who's a pilot who gets stuck in the jungle. Minor spoilers. And he's a bit scared for his life, as you would be if he got stuck in the jungle. And he decides, you know what? I've had enough of this jungle life. I'm kind of like setting up camp here. He even sets up a blender in the jungle, which if anyone can explain to me, I greatly appreciate that. But he sets up camp and he gets comfortable. And that's something that I feel like we all have a natural tendency towards, or I definitely do, of wanting to protect yourselves when things get a little bit jungly. And so I want to talk to you guys about this idea of a walled garden. I don't know whether you've heard of a walled garden, but it's basically a garden with walls. It's very nice. And we as humans, when life gets a little bit jungly, have a temptation to want to create our own walled garden. I grew up on the rough streets of Standish, so I understand that temptation where things get a little bit jungly and you're like, it's a bit much, so you just want to bulldoze everything in the jungle. You want to lay a thick layer of concrete to protect yourself from the creepy crawlies coming up. You might put up some walls, put a nice sprinkler irrigation system in, some fancy pants compost, so that you can pick the plants that you put into your walled garden. And that's cool and everything. There's nothing wrong with walled gardens, but sometimes we kind of try and treat church like a walled garden. We try and make sure that it's our safe haven, it's for us, and I'm a fan of monkeys, so monkeys can come into my walled garden, but sometimes the issue with that is walled gardens, they're designed to keep certain things in and prevent certain things coming out. And so, like, you might design your walled garden perfect for monkeys, but then you realize, oh, I also like elephants. Put your hand up if you like elephants. come on, they're like so wise and cute and also wrinkly at the same time. Anyway, and you're like, oh, I've just designed my walled garden for monkeys. Right. What do elephants like? Big bits of water. So we'll put a watering hole so the elephants can splash around and it's going to be great. So you try and redesign your walled garden. But one real quick challenge to you guys is, one reason I try not to view church as a walled garden is because not all animals are comfortable in the garden, and it's virtually impossible to design a garden that's perfect for everyone. So we've kind of got to be able to, as the church, go out to where the people are. And I know that's a bit of a wonky analogy, and some of you are like, am I a monkey or am I an elephant? Don't worry about that so much. Just stick with me. So that sometimes when you turn church into a walled garden, you limit what comes in and who comes in. But the other side of it is you kind of limit what happens when you step out. Like if you create a walled garden and then you step out into the jungle, it's manic, it's overwhelming, there's things swinging about. There's not just monkeys and elephants, there's also snakes and sloths and lizards. It's not the prettiest thing. And so sometimes when we try and make church our safe haven, our safe place, when we step back out into the jungle, it gets really, really overwhelming. So I was watching Planet Earth this week. It's a really good show. I've only recently turned to it. But there was an interesting fact in it, and it's that jungles take up less than 3% of the Earth's surface, but they contain about 50% of life on Earth. And I was like, that's insane. And as I was watching that, it clicked in my head that, like, in our lives, we'll probably only remember less than 3% of our lives, but the things that we do remember are, like, the life-defining things. That less than 3% is often quite jungly as well. And so with that thought, I was thinking about, like, little moments in life that get a little bit jungly compared to the walled garden you might set yourself up for. So I was a kid in kids' church. Give a whoop whoop for kids' church. Whoop whoop. Great. I was cute, so that's 50% of the game completed. But I was also quite smart, so I knew like a bunch of the answers. I'm sorry, I'm just bragging about myself. But like you could walk out of kids' church having like named all the animals on Noah's Ark, but you'd still get confronted by little jungle moments like your mum's purse is on the table and it's open and you're just like, ooh. And then that song starts going on in the back of your head. It's like, welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. And you're just like, ooh, okay. Maybe my mum's purse. It maybe wasn't that open. Maybe I was just a bit curious. And sometimes if you treat church as a walled garden, you'll smash it. You'll name all the animals, but when you step back out into the jungle, you've not taken any of the lessons with you and out in there, and my mum would not let me in a purse. I'm just going to shut my own wallet. And so that's not just for kids out there. It's also for us adults. Sometimes in the walled garden environment, we're like, oh, it's my safe haven. You know what? I'm going to look cool in this moment. Dave, you did a great job on that message, and that's great and everything. But when you step back out into the jungle, did you actually take any of the life lessons out with you? So for me, it's really important that we try and make sure that we don't treat church as a walled garden, but we embrace the jungle for what it is. And you might be like, okay, Kofi, but what if the walled garden isn't my solution? If protecting myself and setting up a safe haven isn't the solution, what is? Well, I'll tell you that in John 15, Jesus gives the solution. And he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you're connected to me, you'll produce a lot of fruit. If you're not connected, you're not going to get very far, basically, to paraphrase Jesus. And he also says that his Father is the great gardener who will tend to these branches and he will shape us and grow us. And I want to make sure that whether I'm in a church context or out in the world, I'm making sure I'm connected to the vine and being tended to by the ultimate gardener, because that's the real solution. So that's my time, rattled through that. I get the privilege of introducing up the next speaker, who's going to be Andy. Give it up for Andy. But just before he gets up to talk, we're going to watch a quick clip.
Hey, hello. Good morning. I love that movie. Reminds me of being a kid. Reminds me of being very, very small indeed in about 2003. But in addition to being a great movie and a great song and that great blue dad dancing, which I do all the time now, it gives me the title of what I want to talk to you about just for a few minutes. And it's this. It's I Want to Be Like Who? I Want to Be Like Who? So, you know, in the film there, you see Louis, he wants to be like Mowgli. He wants to be a man because he thinks if he can get the secret of fire, he can get more power, he can get more wealth, maybe get a bit more happiness. And, you know, probably most of us have wanted to be like somebody else at some point or other in our lives. And maybe even some of us wanted to be someone else. And that's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes this morning. You know, we all have role models, people that we look up to, maybe musicians, maybe sports personalities, celebrities, maybe even our friends. But why is that? Why do we do that? You know, maybe we see something in them that inspires us. Maybe we see something in them that makes us want to be better. But so often, you know, we do that because maybe we want to be liked. We think, you know, if I can be more like that person, you know, people will like me better. Maybe I don't like myself very much. Maybe I don't like some stuff in myself. And maybe I think, you know, I just want to fit in. If I can be like everybody else and fit in, then everything will be great. And that's fine. It's fine to be inspired by people and wanting to be better. But, you know, so often we miss something in that. We miss the fact that God made us who we are. He made us who we are. You know, he made us unique with a unique purpose and a unique destiny. Somebody needs to hear this morning. You know, Psalm 139 says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make mistakes. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. He did it on purpose. And right at the beginning of the Bible, right back in Genesis, he even says he made us in his image. So there's something of the nature of God already in us. And if we can take a hold of that and develop that and have more of that, that's how we're going to have a really fulfilled life. But, you know, we all lose the plot a little bit sometimes, don't we, in our lives. And I just wanted to give you a quick illustration of something that happened in my life that took me a little bit down that road. And a quote from Judy Garland really sums it up. And the quote is this. It says, always be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of somebody else. I'll repeat that. Always be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of somebody else. So picture the scene. It's 1996, for those of you who remember that. The Britpop era's in. It's going full bore. And Andy Taylor is coming up to the ripe old age of 30. Wow. I don't know what happened when I was 30, but it hit me like a train. Suddenly, I'm not young anymore. I've lost my looks. I've completely lost my mojo. I don't know who I am. And my way of dealing with this internal lack of identity, really sensible this, was to change my external appearance completely. So I changed all my clothes. I started wearing waistcoats for no particular reason. No idea what that was about. And believe it or not, I actually decided I was going to change my hair. I did have some at some point in my life. Now, I thought, okay, who am I going to be like? Who do I want to be like? Who do I look like that's going to make me cool, that's going to make me younger? And so I decided I was going to change my hairstyle to look a little bit like a couple of guys whose picture is going to come up on the screen in a moment. Yeah. Does anybody know who that is? Yeah, so that's for you, those of you who don't know, that's Noel and Liam Gallagher from Oasis. Yeah, I look just like them, don't I? Wow. I was looking for a picture that might show you just what this looked like at the time, but I couldn't find a good one. So what I did instead was I thought I would do, I'll just give you a little demonstration, but you need to give me a few seconds to show you what this would have looked like. So just bear with me a moment. You're my wonderwall. I feel a fourth-rate tribute act coming on. This was something like what it might have looked like in 1996. My hair's getting in my eyes. But seriously, that's very funny. But actually, it was pretty tragic. You know, I tried to be somebody else, but I ended up being a third-rate version of Noel Gallagher and a fourth-rate version of Andy Taylor. So I'm going to take this wig off. It's itching me, and my wife's going nuts because she hates me with hair. So I'm going to take it off. Wow. So, you know, that might be funny, and hopefully it was, but it makes a really good point. You know, as I said before, God made us to be us, not someone else, because he had a specific purpose for each one of us, a specific role and purpose that no one else can fulfill. So we need to be more like that first-rate version that God made us to be than try and be someone else. And secondly, you know, the thing that will make us truly the best version of ourselves is to come into a relationship with the one other person that we should really want to be like, and that's Jesus. Yeah. And you might say, whoa, wait a minute. How can I be like Jesus? He was God. He was perfect. That's just such a high bar for me to reach. Well, you know, God knows us. He knows our frailties and our imperfections and what we're like. And he didn't just stay in heaven and judge us or expect perfection. But instead, he came down to earth in the form of a man, and that was Jesus. And, you know, Jesus lived a life as a man, as a human, just like you and me. Not only because he wanted to come and he wanted to save us and bring us into a new relationship with God, but he wanted to show us what a God-centered life could look like. And I just want to leave you with a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 5 that explain this really well. And it says this. It says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. You know, children learn so much from their parents, don't they? You know, they learn speech, they learn mannerisms, they learn patterns of behavior, they learn principles. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. Some of it comes out exactly when you don't want it to. But, you know, they learn that so naturally simply because they spend time watching and learning and copying. That's just what they do naturally. You know, it's just the same for us with God. You know, it's not difficult, but it's a lifelong journey, this learning a life of love. You know, so how do we do that? How do we do that with God? Well, simply by spending time with him. So by spending time talking to him, by spending time in prayer, by spending time learning about him, learning about his principles and his nature, by reading his Bible, his word. And also by spending time with other people who are on the same journey that we're on. Other people who are learning the life of love. That's what being a disciple is about. It's about learning from Jesus and going on a journey with others. This is not a solo activity. So I just want to leave you with one thought before I go. You know, there is nothing wrong with being inspired by people. But if we really want to impact our world for Jesus, you know, we need to become not somebody else, but a first-rate version of the us that he created in his image, and first-rate followers of a first-rate God. Hopefully that was useful. I'm going to hand back to Ben, who's going to finish up for us. Thanks, Ben.
Give it up for Andy, everybody. What a great job. And Kofi as well. Thank you, guys. So appreciate you.